Hey, I got a complaint.
Yeah, me too. I gotta fix my commas and stuff in my style pad on this thing. Hang on.
Yeah, sounds like you got a legitimate complaint.
Okay, I think I fixed it. What's up? And welcome to the Free Food and Medicine Podcast.
Yeah. Let me count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Holy shit, I actually lost one.
What?
6. Okay, they put them in the wrong order. All right. So you give me a hard time because I'm always on this Dayton Asia website. All right. Why do you want foreign women? Okay. So I fired up OkCupid. OkCupid. You know Dayton Asia gives me more American women than OkCupid does.
That's because of your setting.
Because I'm what?
That's because of your setting.
Right. Right. There are more women on Dayton Asia who want children than they do on OkCupid.
That's the only
setting that I changed. As a matter of fact, I removed the must be single check mark on OkCupid, all right, and the must be within 500 miles setting on OkCupid, and I still get more closer results on Dayton Asia than I do on OkCupid.
Weird to me.
And I don't think paying him $10 a month will help that statistic.
I'm trying to find my routing number and account number for PayPal.
Ah.
So
all right, we got 1 minute.
That way I can have my paycheck go straight to PayPal.
Yep, we got 1 minute, and Yeah, I don't care if she's 19 and she's in Butler, Missouri. She goes by the name The Bitch.
Okay, Free Food and Medicine topic for today.
Yeah, man or other animals?
Well, that's you.
Well, that's what you told me.
But we got to talk about a free food and medicine.
Legal advice might be considered food for the mind.
Yeah. I can't pronounce it, but it's on page 276.
Yeah. Right.
And you don't have your book.
I'm looking for it. Went to a Bible study and didn't bring my Bible.
It's spelled A-C-T-U-7-D-6. A-C-I-A.
A-C-I-A. Ah, I should know how to say that. That might be in this other Bible I'm carrying with me. A-C-I-A. Asia? Asia? Oops. Oh, no. A-C-A-C-I-A? Hello? Are you there? Am I gone?
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, dang it, my recording didn't record or didn't play.
Ouch.
Dang darn diddly. This is Blog Talk Radio. Anyway.
Stupid Blog Talk. But are we on Blog Talk?
We are on Blog Talk. Hang on, let me double check.
Would that be... Would that be A-C-A-C-I-A?
Yes.
Acacia.
Acacia.
Hey, you're not supposed to be making noise.
Apparently it's got thorns.
Right.
Okay. Over 1,300 species. 960 are in Australia. The rest are all over the world, especially warm and tropical areas. This is the famous Africa tree we always see in pictures with the giraffe eating from it.
Okay.
There are even a dozen species in America and Europe. Uh-oh. The American black locust tree is mistaken for acacia.
Right. And this book says it's often called false acacia. And I was looking to see how it's related. Now, I'm not sure why it's in this book. I'm going to have to read this. It's my understanding black locust is poisonous.
Right.
But it's not, like, deadly poison. So, interesting. Apparently, you can eat part of black locust, or it wouldn't be in this book.
It says it's mistaken for black locust.
Well, and this book is saying black locust is mistaken for acacia.
Right.
Okay, so they look very similar.
They look similar, but black locust is not... we'll have to
not
look
acacia.
That up. Right.
Okay, well, I'm reading on black locust because I don't have anything on acacia.
All right, well, let me finish.
So you do acacia.
So the American black locust tree is mistaken for acacia. It is called the false acacia. The African varieties tend to be thorny, called thorn trees. The Australian ones have no thorns. Acacia generally having fuzzy yellow flowers and reddish brown wood. Very fire resistant. So that might be the fire resistant ones he was talking about in his advertisement. The seed pods are 3 inches long with 5 to 6 brownish black edible seeds. Young leaves, flowers, and pods are edible raw or cooked. Seeds are often used for food, either raw or toasted with salt, or ground into powder and added to sauce.
Right. Hello? Okay, I believe I lost my co-host. Not good. Because we'd like to hear more about Acacia and not what I found. Yeah, as a matter of fact, the scientific name for black locust is Robinia pseudo-acacia. All right, and, pseudo-acacia literally means false acacia. So it's scientifically named, fake. Apparently because they look very much very similar. Yes, you know. Okay. Well, I don't have much on that. But one of the subjects we were intending to talk about as well, and if Kano comes back, I'll defer to him reading about Acacia.
Okay, sorry, we're back. All right, hang on. I'm going to try calling Blog Talk Radio.
Now, wait a minute. We weren't recording when...
We were. Hang on.
Okay. I'm holding. Holding on. Do.
Okay, we're back. Sorry about that. I don't know what it is, but I hardly ever have dropped calls. But it seems awfully funny that almost every time we're podcasting, I end up dropping out. I don't know who or what is disconnecting me, but anyhow, where was I? Oh, soft drinks. Did you hear that part?
Right. Back up a bit.
Okay. The young shoots are added to salads, soups, curries, oatmeal, and stir fry. Akashi is a common ingredient in soft drinks. The bark is used to make a gum called gum arabic. A thickening agent in dessert. Used to treat sore throats, relieving clogging bronchial passages, and is often mixed with water to make a paste to soothe and heal external injuries. High tannin levels make it very astringent and a good preservative. Bark, roots, and resin used to make incense and also ink dyes. The fruit is used to make popular alcoholic beverages. Then it says, caution. 19 different species of American acacia contains potentially toxic
cytotoxin. Starts with an S.
C-Y-A-N, so cyanogenic.
Okay.
Cyanogenic glycosides.
Wow.
I'm sure I butchered that. What is it?
It sounds like it's related to Roundup.
Roundup.
Now, it's not exactly that, but it sounds like it's got the same, you know, background. Which,
some of
you know,
these are. Oh well, I can't pronounce these. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 species that I can't pronounce that you should not eat in the acacia family in the U.S. or in the Americas.
Right.
So it's going to be more tropical. So it's going to be probably in Mexico, Central America, maybe even South America. And
that's
maybe
right.
The southern part of the U.S.
The tree I'm looking at, the false acacia, that this book is labeling as black locust, doesn't look anything like the black locust here in Missouri.
Right.
And he even complains. Right. And he complains that people often confuse black locust with honey locust. And he says you'd have to have quite an imagination to confuse the two. But he's showing pictures of short seed pods and describing things that don't quite match up. So there is the problem with common names. If you ask somebody what something's called and they give you a common name like black locust or acacia or whatever, that's not enough. All right? You know, because you got to go through and verify that you two are talking about the same plant. Okay? So I'm looking at this book. He's calling something black locust that does not look like what the natives around here in Missouri call black locust. Okay? the first black locust I ate off of gave me a sore throat. And so I can see where there might be some confusion from book to book to book, because if they're using the same name but talking about different plants, indeed, black locust might be poisonous, whereas this guy is saying it's not. Okay? You know, he's even commenting that one field guide expert said that even sniffing the flowers could give you ill effects. Well, it might be possible that there is a legume tree out there that's called black locust that's so poisonous that sniffing it, you know, and I find that a little hard to believe, but, you know, that sniffing it would do you harm. I do know the black locusts here in Missouri smell wonderful when they bloom. So I'd hope sniffing them wasn't poisonous.
They could kill you.
Right. So anyway, why am I talking about black locusts and Kano's talking about acacia? Because this is the only reference I could find in this book to acacia, and it's because black locust, this particular type of black locust, is often called false acacia. So, as a matter of fact, its scientific name is Robinia pseudo-acacia, and pseudo-acacia means false acacia. So, anyway, enough about the fake one. So if I'm understanding Kano right, we want the tropical variety of acacia, not the domestic American one. Did I get that right?
Perhaps. There are five or six that they said you don't want to eat.
Right. So just because somebody says it's an acacia tree, you might not want to touch it. You know, you might want to do a little research first, find out what kind of acacia it is.
If you're in the U.S., definitely.
Right.
Or not U.S., in the Americas.
Americas.
North America or South America or Central America. Or Africa, America. Just kidding.
Ouch.
What?
Well, there actually is an Africa, America. I can't remember the name of the country, but the United States of America actually did set up a country. I'm not sure what you call that region. There's that western lobe of Africa. On the south side of it, one of those countries was created by the United States. Specifically because somebody thought it was a good idea to give Africans a chance to go back to Africa. And that's where they sent them. So, and there's a bit of history behind that, and I don't... Go ahead.
Apparently, black locust doesn't really have any medicinal value because Marcus Rothkranz does not have anything on black locust except for the fact that the acacia is mistaken for, or the black locust is mistaken for, acacia.
And you might be right, because this book usually lists the nutritional contents of stuff. And it didn't list anything on it. It did give you a warning about not eating certain parts of it. And Yeah. Didn't get any nutritional stuff, but it says it's okay to eat the flowers. And I want to know how he was feeding flowers to anybody in the first place. So he must have been dealing with an entirely different black locust, because the black locusts I know of here in Missouri, they get, you know, a good 40, 50 feet tall, and all the flowers are up on the upper limbs. So even though there's no thorns, you're still not going to climb up there to go get them. So I don't know.
According to the Canadian Journal of Animal Science, you can use the black locust leaves for feed for animals, but it doesn't say anything about humans.
Right. Well, it is a legume. And as such, it has the potential of being a nitrogen fixer if the right bacteria are cultivated at its roots. And, you know, I'm sure its beans are high in protein, and some animal probably can take advantage of that. You know, but again, apparently the black locust here in Missouri is not pseudo-acacia. It's something else. You know, it's a different locust tree. So I'll have to do some research into that, because, you know, hey, I've probably read books on black locusts and just assumed that I was reading the right stuff, even though I wasn't looking at pictures. So,
yeah, according to this one, they also say that it's a nitrogen fixer, but it says the leaves, if you try to eat the pods.
Yeah, I tried eating the pods to suck out. It had the green slime that honey locust has in their pods. The pods were similar, and I thought I'd discovered a thornless honey locust.
According to the Canadian site, and this one, Cornell, California.
Right.
Cornell College of Agriculture, both of them say that the leaves have, let me go back here. The leaves are, the nutritional value of the leaves are similar to alfalfa, making it a valuable feed for ruminant livestock. Some sources claim excessive consumption can lead to toxicity, but many farmers have found their animals naturally limit their intake, with the exception of horses.
Right. Gotta keep an eye on those horses, because horses will do stupid stuff.
Yeah.
Which makes you wonder.
Yeah. So, black locust, basically, like you said, an nitrogen fixer. And it's got the leaves have the same medicinal properties or nutrient value as alfalfa. And maybe the leaves won't give you a sore throat as quickly as the pods will. And maybe that's why animals will limit their intake when they start getting a sore throat from it. You know, go off to eat something else. Who knows?
Right.
Nobody knows the drama I've seen.
Right.
Right.
Where
It's
are
not
you?
well right.
Well, let me ask you
I
this. What had you bring up Acacia just because it was there?
Well, because we didn't have anything. So I started in the free food and medicine book with A.
Ah, so it was the first one there. Okay. Serves me right for even asking.
Yeah,
let
see,
me
I
see.
Wanted to
90 seconds.
I wanted to start from start to finish, and you want to do random. So I figured, well, when we don't have one to talk about, we'll go start to finish.
Right.
Yeah.
That's good. I'll see what the mighty god Google has to say.
We got 90 seconds remaining. So we will finish the
60 seconds
at freefoodandmedicine.org. And once I have time to actually upload this to freefoodandmedicine.org, you can go there and listen to the rest of the story.
Right.
We also have a Discord and a Facebook. David doesn't do Facebook, though, only Andrew. And we have a video page and we have a blog. So check those out as well. And if you have free food and medicine videos, please upload them to our video site. It's like YouTube, just not as cool, but also not as overly regulated. So there you go. As long as you're posting free food
10 seconds
information, you can post it there. All right. So they're about to cut us off because we are pretty close to our 30 minutes, even though I lost signal.
Yep. Yeah, it gave us that time limit. So I'm looking at pictures of this tree. It doesn't look anything like honey locust or black locust. It's a pretty looking tree.
They'll cut us off whenever we're done. Carry on.
Right. Yeah, it's a nice looking tree. It looks like you could harvest the pods just, you know, from the lower limbs easy.
Oh, the acacia?
Oh yeah. Do do do. Yeah, see, here's another reason why you need to have scientific names, because it's known as mimosa.
Right.
Okay. But if you look at its flowers and what we call mimosa here in Missouri, big, radical difference.
Radical.
It's got the flowers that look like wisteria, long draping pea-like flowers,
oh,
yellow and white, and mimosa has those puffballs. So, acacia, known commonly as mimosa, acacia, thorn tree, or wattle. Okay, so apparently acacia has thorns, and what we call black locust around here does not. And this grows with its branches reaching out parallel to the earth, whereas our black locust reaches for the sky, tall and skinny. So not very much. Yeah, there's not much. Honey locust kind of halfway in between these two.
Right.
You know, as far as the tree shape. You know. Yeah, see, acacia grows like an umbrella. Oh, wow. It's actually, according to its scientific name, its scientific classification, it's in the same family as the other mimosas. But it doesn't have that puffball flower. It has the cluster of pea flowers shape.
Very interesting.
I'm not finding much talking about its health benefits or whatever. All right.
Good for everything.
Did Rothkrantz mention more of its medicinal qualities or its edibility?
Let me look it up again.
I'm going to go for health. There we go. Well, that didn't work.
Used to treat sore throats, relieving clogging bronchial passages, and mixed with water to form a paste to soothe and heal external injuries. It's also used as a preservative. Alcohol.
Preservative. There we go. Healthline, 7 uses of acacia.
So acacia cures sore throats where black locust causes them.
Well, our black locust does. All right, now I got a radically different picture here of acacia. And this one shows an acacia tree with yellow puffball flowers.
Well, he did say there's like 1,300 varieties.
Right. Now, this is very mimosa-like, you know, comparing to our local mimosas. Except instead of being pink, it's yellow.
Pinky yellow?
Right. Oh, you can commonly find acacia in some of your products in the store labeled as acacia gum.
Yeah, I already said that.
Oh, well,
no,
I just found
it. Gum. It's gum arabic.
Gum arabic. Okay, well, this one said acacia gum.
Yeah,
that's
Marcus Rothkrantz's book said gum arabic.
Okay. That's funny. That's going to release pain and irritation. Helps wounds heal. Promotes oral health. Good source of fiber. Reduce body fat. Well, give me some more of that. Soothes coughs and sore throats. Yeah, I think you've read all these already. Restricts blood loss. Okay. Something I didn't notice. Apparently, they list the different types of acacia for these different things. So not all acacia will do all of these things. And this site says the acacia can interact with some of your medications. You should consult your doctor before using it.
Yeah, let's see what WebMD has to say.
Okay, this one says one study conducted on rats showed that acacia arabica could potentially treat diabetes. Potentially. So that's your gum arabic right there. It's one of the varieties of acacia.
All right. The medication you do not want to take acacia with is called amoxicillin.
Oh, okay. Which they give you instead of penicillin if you're allergic to penicillin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Acacia can prevent the body from absorbing the antibiotic amoxicillin to prevent this interaction. Take acacia at least 4 hours before or after taking the amoxicillin. So they're not saying don't take it, just don't take it within an 8-hour window, 4 hours before or 4 hours after.
Or in my case, if they force amoxicillin down my throat, I go grab some gum arabic and eat it quick.
Right. Well, here's the other thing. Gum arabic is in a lot of foods and drinks.
Yeah.
People are saying that the amoxicillin or the, you know, these antibiotics aren't working. Well, maybe that's why.
There you go.
Because people might take their medication while drinking the gum arabic to, you know, to chase the pill down.
Yeah.
But it's probably not enough, you know, acacia to actually counteract the amoxicillin. But you should really be taking an alternative antibiotic anyways, like honey. And bee pollen. And echinacea. And what else? I know tea tree oil is a natural antiseptic and antibiotic. You don't really want to drink it, but you can do a couple drops of tea tree in your mouth or in your water.
Oil of oregano, but you want the real stuff, the stuff from Greece,
not Turkey.
You don't want Mexican sage.
Oh, yeah, no. The one Irish like is from Hungary.
Okay. Yeah, well, you don't want Mexican sage, which is what they often give you instead of And we lost them again. That's, you know, they got products for acacia fiber organic powder, a now food. Let's see now. Somebody did a nutritional assessment of the different parts. Let's see now. Let's see if this tells us anything new. Four big benefits of acacia fiber. And of course, there we go. Encourages the growth of beneficial bacteria. Soothing sensitive stomachs. Supports weight management. And maintaining the gut barrier. I didn't even know there was a gut barrier. Okay. A healthy gut barrier that blocks out toxins and harmful bacteria while also allowing nutrients to pass through into the bloodstream is crucial for your overall health, immune function, and well-being. Indeed, a barrier that is leaky or overly permeable can lead to overstimulation of your immune system and other health issues that can keep you from feeling your best. Acacia fiber supports your all-important gut barrier by encouraging the growth of specific strains of beneficial bacteria that produce gut-nourishing short-chain fatty acids. One such fatty acid, butyrate, nourishes intestinal cell lining, and gut barrier, and supports the assembly of tight junctions that seal gaps between gut barrier cells. Okay. So that makes me want to go back and read the first one, encouraging the growth of beneficial bacteria. Wow, I don't think he's coming back. A balanced, healthy microbiome consists of at least 85% healthful bacteria called probiotics and just 15% of bad guys that can wreak havoc on your health. The problem is that in our modern lifestyle, our modern lifestyles often deplete the friendly flora that we depend on for so many life-supporting functions. Things like antibiotics in food and as medicine, overzealous hygiene habits, antibacterial cleaners, processed foods, and even stress can take a big toll on your microbiome. Overzealous hygiene habits. Okay. The good news is that a prebiotic acacia fiber can support your population of good bacteria by giving them a healthy meal. In one study, a daily dose of gum arabic was just 4 weeks led to significantly higher numbers of intestinal superstars, biofibdobacteria, and lactobacilli. I'm just going to spell it. LACTOBACILLI. For some reason, my tongue couldn't wrap around those two L's properly. I'm having fun with Latin words.
All right.
Well,
yeah, they're saying that it's, well, I'm looking at WebMD, and of course they're saying that it's ineffective. But
right.
It's supposedly used for high cholesterol, but WebMD says it's ineffective.
Well, okay, based on what study? I have to ask that because, you know, if your study doesn't give you a high enough dose or they give you too much, you know, at a certain level, sure, it's ineffective. At another level, it might be very effective. And so, you know, I have to ask, you know, what was the study? How was it conducted? Did they try various levels? Or did they just, you know, give a 15 milligram supplement to one group and nothing to another? You know?
Right.
You know, and that's, you know, I don't know. Because I don't have the studies in front of me, so, you know, and even if I did, I'd have to pour through them very carefully because they'll be written in terms that I won't understand clearly, you know.
Well, so, here it also says it's good for tooth plaque if you chew the gum.
Right. Yeah, and this site they just went to, it listed four more benefits and was specifically talking about gum arabic. So
Yeah, if you chew the gum, provided it doesn't have sugar in it, I suppose, it's more effective than chewing sugar-free gum, which
right.
Sugar-free gum today is made out of rubber, not trees. It's a synthetic rubber because it was cheaper than making it from tree.
That's disgusting.
Pretty much. That's why I don't chew gum anymore. Diabetes. Some research shows that taking acacia gum powder might help to lower blood sugars and people with type 2 diabetes who are also taking diabetes medicine. However,
right.
Acacia does not completely normalize blood sugar. So you got to do other things as well. It just helps.
Right. Well, this particular site, it listed four things, and I'm looking over the four things, and mostly it's focused on the fact that while it doesn't feed you so much, it feeds the good bacteria. So, you know, if you're taking a probiotic, they're suggesting that you should be taking powdered gum arabic first. And then take the probiotic, because now they have something to eat when they get into your gut. And, you know, apparently when it breaks down in your gut, it produces stuff that feeds your gut wall cells. But it also provides, well, it talked about a gut barrier, which I wasn't aware of. Okay, so it helps form this gut barrier that allows nutrients to get through and provides a home and food for your healthy bacteria.
There you go.
So, you know, and it suggests it can help with weight loss based on that alone, too.
What, weight loss?
Oh, yeah. By having the right kind of bacteria in your gut?
Yeah, WebMD also says that taking 30 grams of acacia powder daily has shown to help with weight loss.
There you go. Because it helps you, it helps your gut. Well,
back to the diabetes, there's other things like prickly pear. There's a bean or a pea that grows in another country that's big, like the honey locust beans.
Okay.
That helps with diabetes. I can't remember the name of it, but Marcus Rothkranz is always talking about it in his YouTube videos.
Okay.
So prickly pear, that pea or bean, and then and there's some other stuff. If you listen to our previous podcast, Marcus Rothkranz talks about other things in his book that helps with diabetes. So taking all those things, or a random set of those things with the, you know, acacia gum, or powdered acacia or whatever, will help with diabetes. It also says here that it helps with gingivitis. And it helps with skin breakdown around a stoma. Stoma.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. It sounds familiar, but I don't remember what that is.
It's a lesion. Early research shows that applying a thick layer of acacia gel to the skin around the colostomy appliance decreases skin inflammation better than applying zinc sulfur ointment.
Right. So it helps with an artificially created condition because they want you to be able to pee into a bag.
Right.
Imagine that. Putting a natural substance on you might actually help when you have artificial things stuck into you in weird places.
Right. Stuck in your unmentionable.
Yeah. And if you don't know what a colostomy bag is, well, you're not missing anything.
What is a colostomy bag?
I don't want to say.
I'm just kidding, aren't you?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I actually have
I'm in pain just thinking about it.
I actually have a colostomy bag right now.
Yeah, liar. Anyway.
I'm just kidding.
Well, where can they find us, and what can they do when they get there?
Where to go and how to get there is freefoodandmedicine.org. That's the index. Well, the index of the index would be manicmondaypodcast.com. And there you'll see all of our podcasts. But to find all of our free food and medicine stuff, go to freefoodandmedicine.org. And you'll find the blog, and from the blog, you'll find everything else.
Yay.
And don't forget to check out Marcus Rothkranz at freefoodandmedicine.com. And I think my affiliate link still works. I haven't checked it in a minute, but go to freefoodandmedicine.net if you want to give me commission for buying Marcus Rothkranz's product at his.com.
Yep, yep.
There you go. But, you know, I'm promoting him whether you give me credit or not, whether I get a commission or not. So there you go.
All righty.
All right. I'm going to bed.
See you next week.
Tomorrow. Yep, yep. All right, bye.